Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Call of Ice Giants Uranus, an article by Leah Crane in the 28th of July 2018 New Scientist. The byline, Uranus and Neptune have always been enigmatic. Now it's crucial we get to know them. A few billion kilometres from here, two Kryolian marbles hang in the blackness of space. Neptune and Uranus are not the most distant objects in our solar system. They aren't the biggest or the smallest. They don't have the brightest colours, but they do hold the greatest mysteries. We have roved across Mars. We have orbited Jupiter. We have landed on Venus. But our only close look at the ice giants Neptune and Uranus came more than 30 years ago when a Voyager 2 spacecraft hurtled past them on its way out of the solar system. It snapped a few pictures and then the planets faded from view. Quote, everything we know up close about these planets and their moons is based on that single flyby, end quote, said NASA scientist Amy Saman. Now the impetus is building to go back. The little we do know about these frigid planets suggests they are extremely weird. They have crooked magnetic fields, they're colder than they should be, and we don't know why they spin in odd ways. Understanding all of this is important because, in the past two decades, our sky surveys have started spotting planets around other stars, and the worlds about the size of Uranus and Neptune are the most common type. This tells us mid-sized gassy planets are a basic ingredient of the universe. Quote, they are fundamental objects as rocky planets or a star, end quote, says Jonathan Florey of the University of California, Santa Cruz. Quote, we know almost nothing about this class of object, close quote. If you want to answer anytime soon, we had better get moving. There's a small window of opportunity in late 2020s and early 2030s when the planets will be arranged so a slingshot around Jupiter would boost a probe to Neptune within 6 years. If we miss that slot, 2050 is the earliest we could be there. That's why NASA and the European Space Agency are both making plans for missions to learn more about the ice giants. A NASA group who's studying the concepts includes orbiters and atmospheric probes. A Uranus orbiter without an atmospheric probe, but with extra instruments and a flyby of Uranus. Quote, as scientists, we want everything and we want it as soon as possible, end quote, says Adam Masters at Imperial College London, who was appointed to the NASA group. Whether he will get his wish depends largely on whether NASA dishes the cash up the next decadal survey, an exercise that starts shortly and chooses a batch of ambitious space missions. If a trip to the ice giants does get the go-ahead, here are the biggest questions it could answer. And so we're going to say we're going ahead, these are the biggest questions. Why is Uranus too cold? When Voyager buzzed past Uranus, it beat its heat sensors, picked up no signal at all. That doesn't make sense. If the ice giant emits heat in the way we think planets do, as far as we know, gas and dust and eventually rocks smash together during a planet's formation, and that locks up heat in their cores. The heat then radiates over billions of years. How much heat is coming out at any given time depends on what the planet's made of and how old it is. Usually there's a bit of radioactive decay deuterium fusion. When can estimates of how much heat should be emanating from, or we can estimate how much heat should be emanating from the ice giants by taking a clue from Saturn and Jupiter, which we have studied more extensively. Heat moves from their cores to the atmosphere of hydrogen and helium, gets shuffled around and eventually escapes. The ice giants are colder and smaller than these objects. Their atmospheres include methane and ammonia, as well as hydrogen and helium. But the same sort of dispersion process should apply. You might expect Uranus's lack of heat signal is because the interior is different from what we have so far guessed. But here's the weird thing. The models based on Jupiter and Saturn predict the heat output of Neptune rather neatly, just not that of Uranus. Perhaps Neptune and Uranus are just different then. That is possible, but unlikely. They must have formed around the same time and place to have accumulated the amount of hydrogen and helium we see in the atmosphere, suggesting their innards are similar. An alternate idea is that Uranus's cold heart is related to its odd tilt. This could make the poles hotter than the equator and may have sped up the planet's loss of heat. That's a weird thought. What could be the opposite? The core is still warm, but there's something that stops the heat getting out for us to measure, such as slushy ice in the atmosphere. We can't disprove any of these hypotheses because we know almost nothing about what's going inside Uranus or Neptune. We know their size and mass, which tells us their density, but there's lots of ways to make that. Quote, you just think up new stories, end quote, says Fortney. Quote, there's no way to test any of this stuff with the information we've got, end quote. Instead, we must go there. It seems to slam open and shut. Okay, the next question is, why are the magnetic fields lumpy? A lack of heat wasn't the only strange reading Voyager 2 picked up. It also managed a single measurement of the ice giant's magnetic fields. They were nothing like we had ever seen. Earth, Jupiter, Saturn all have magnetic fields in alignment that roughly matches their spinning axes. Earth's magnetic field is like a bar magnet, the North Pole only 11 degrees from the geological South-North Pole, which is the South Pole. Okay, because our North magnets point to it. I find that a bit strange. And a similar story is for the South Pole. Uranus's magnetic field is more complex. It has lumps and bumps pointing in different directions, and is totally skew-whiff, sitting about 45 degrees angle from the spinning axis. It is the same with Neptune. Even stranger, Voyager measures show that both planets, the center of the magnetic field, doesn't seem to sit in the middle of the planet. Quote, "There's magnetic fields are crazy," end quote, says Carol Patti of the Georgia Institute of Technology. Earth's magnetic fields is generated by a swirling spherical skin of molten iron in its outer core, the motion of which is driven by the core's heat and corralled by the planet's rotation. It's hard to see how the process of as symmetrical as this could create an off-center field. The dynamos that give rise to the ice giant's field are probably very different. Our best guess is the planet's interiors are made of layers of electrically conducting ices. Each layer has a different properties that mean they flow around each other in a complex way. In other words, the thing is generating a magnetic field is not a single uniform sphere, but several interacting shells. Quote, the composition of thermal gradients and the drivers of the dynamos are going to be different because of the colder temperatures, says Patti. If that's true, it may help explain another bizarre features of Uranus's magnetic field, that it seems to slam open and shut every day. We can't even be sure that the magnetic fields are quite as they appear. We have only one measurement of each, and it's possible that they are constantly shifting or just happen to be off-center when Voyager 2 whistled past. Fields opening and shutting isn't unheard of. It has happened in Earth's poles occasionally. When it does, it lets particles from the solar wind create super intense auroras. The chance of glimpsing something like this over Uranus is another tempting reason to visit. The next question, why does Uranus spin orbits? Why is Uranus orbits sideways? Most of the planets in the solar system rotate on an axis which is approximately right angles to the plane of their orbits. They are a series of spinning tops skittering on a table, all circling spinning the same direction. Even Neptune follows this pattern reasonably well, not Uranus. The spin of the frigid world is almost perpendicular to the orbital direction, with the North Pole facing the Sun. most of its moon's orbit. That's so it's orbitally locked. Is that right? That's so. Is it orbitally locked? That's incredible. It would be facing the sun at the moment. Most of its moon's orbit in the same direction, but that it rotates a right angle to the plane of the solar system. Something must have happened when Uranus was forming to make it so crooked. Most planetary scientists believe that it was an epic collision. For a single crash to knock a planet as large as Uranus off kilter, the other objects would have to be several times more massive than Earth. Or it could have been a series of collisions with smaller objects. That doesn't explain why the moons are tilted too. Quote, the Uranian satellite system looks perfectly normal, just tilted on its side, says Elizabeth Tuttle of Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. Maybe the moons grew out of rubble tossed into space by the collision, a similar manner to how Earth's moon is believed to have formed. Then again, of the 27 moons, 18 of them orbit normally around the planet's equator, and 9 follow less regular orbits. It's possible that the normal moons were around Uranus before the collision, whereas others grew out of the collision debris. All this depends on Uranus having a solid core, otherwise it's hard to see how the collision narrative could work. We assume that it does, but there's no evidence. One way to tell, to measure the planet's gravity from orbit, any areas of strong pull could signify lumps and bumps on something solid. Next question, why do the ice giants even exist? As if the curious magnetic fields and the oddball temperatures weren't enough, there's another issue with the ice giants. Quote, their mere existence is a problem, end quote, says Fortney. A trouble comes down to a window in which the ice giants could have formed. And there's a period of about 3 million years after the birth of the sun where there could be enough gas in the solar system protoplanetary disks to build up ice giants. This is thick atmosphere. After that, the solar wind had blown most of it away, but Neptune and Uranus both probably have a solid core that might have taken as much as a billion years to accrete. That leaves in a probably short amount of time for a thick sheath of gas to collect around them. One possibility is that the gas giants didn't form gradually, but in a short burst, with some gravitational glitch causing the cloud of dust to collapse quickly. The conditions under anything like that might happen are unclear, though. A more probable explanation is that the ice giants were born close to the sun before migrating to their current home. They would have grown more quickly there because the dust clouds are thicker. It is an attractive idea, seeing that we already think the early solar system involved planets pinballing around. Popular models of planets formation involve Jupiter either being born closer to the sun or moving towards it in its youth. It could have absorbed or tossed aside huge rocks in the process, clearing the way for planets like the Earth to survive unscathed before moving outwards again. It wouldn't be too difficult to get a handle on what happened if we sent a probe to the ice giants to sample the various chemicals in the atmosphere. The ratio of isotopes variance of chemical elements with different masses is a dead giveaway of where the planets formed and would help us reconstruct their movements. We've never quite managed to measure Jupiter's isotopes despite several missions there, but if we pulled it off in Neptune and Uranus, it would help narrow down the possible ways in which Jupiter moved around too. Its awesome gravity would have been a major driver for the way the ice giants moved. In that sense, the mysteries of the ice giants aren't merely parochial oddities. They go to the heart of what makes the solar system the way it is. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.